Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode on our Outsmarting Infertility podcast. I was recently sent an email asking about a particular food, particularly green peas, and information that's available online about this food and whether it can impair fertility or not. And so when I first got this email, I was a little bit surprised or shocked because green peas are such a staple in so many different diets across the world. And for vegetarians, for vegans, green peas are an excellent source of fiber, for protein, lots of different phytonutrients and healthy compounds to help support overall health. And so when we're looking at green peas and I'm trying to put the two and two together, I couldn't figure out why would green peas impair infertility, according to some sites on the internet. And so I looked into the research about this, because whenever we look at stuff online, we obviously have to be careful about the information we take in, and we have to verify the quality of that information. And when we're dealing with infertility, it seems like online we can find negative or positive information about just about anything nowadays, and look at how something may be totally dangerous or incredibly supportive or a breakthrough treatment. And we have to always take it with a grain of salt, and until we can at least look at the quality of the evidence behind that claim. And with green peas, it's no different. So when I looked into the research for this to try and delve in and figure out, you know, is there actual validity to this claim all over the internet that I'm seeing on some blog posts from different parts of the world? Or is this something that we would just put away as a myth and carry on with our lives? So the research behind this, first of all, is very limited. And it goes back to the 1950s in India. And so some of the first studies published on this topic were with animal studies. So they did a trial on mice where they were basically being fed a diet with very high amounts of mutter. Mutter is green peas, or Picum sativum, and more, to be more specific. And basically they found that as the portion of the diet became more and more focused, or a greater percentage was on these green peas for the mice, spermatogenesis, or the sperm production, actually started to drop off for these mice. And just to take a little pause there, I want to mention two things. One, this is an animal study, so the results cannot be directly applied to humans. Animal trials are very good early forms of research to help us identify trends, and then they need to be replicated with human trials to see if we're actually seeing the similar effect or not. And even with this animal trial, we need to be able to reproduce those results, because we don't know, like in this part of India, when they were, you know, in the 1950s feeding these green peas to their group of mice for the research, was there an issue with the green peas? Was there cross-contamination? Was there any adulterants in the actual food itself? Were there any other toxic compounds that may have been present that usually are not present in green peas? And so when other researchers started to try and replicate this finding, other researchers were unable to find similar results. And so another trial was done 10 years later, again in India, in a different part of India, by a different group of researchers, and they did the same thing. They actually applied not just the green pea diet, but they gave the active ingredient that the first group of researchers identified and dubbed as an anti-fertility compound. And that compound was called M-xylohydroquinone. And M-xylohydroquinone was given not just as a type of food anymore, but as a potent active ingredient. And in this study published around 1962, they gave a group of mice not just green peas, they instead gave the active ingredient. And they were unable to find any change in spermatogenesis, fertility. There was no change in the reproductive capacity of the animals. So here basically we see an example where A, we're working with very low quality research, and B, we're seeing conflicting results. So when other researchers tried to reproduce those results, they could not find the exact same outcome. So it really brings into question whether the information from the earlier studies was actually valid or not. Other trials tried to use this active compound in humans, and some of these studies, again in the 50s, so we're going back quite a few years, reported that if patients consumed anywhere from 150 milligrams to 300 milligrams of M-xylohydroquinone in a month, there was actually no change in fertility. If they had higher amounts, they reported a decrease in fertility. And again, here we have another big issue with this research, because we're no longer talking about green peas. We have departed from that years ago in terms of the research. We're looking at an active ingredient now, and we're looking at a very potent concentration of that ingredient. So this is no longer the same thing as giving a specific food. When we look at whole food diets, the amount of nutrients or compounds we find in those foods is a lot lower in general when we compare it to giving pharmaceutical doses of a particular ingredient. For example, selenium. Selenium has research studies showing how important it is for spermatogenesis, to support fertility, and how there's actually what we call a U response or U-shaped response to selenium intake. So if we get a healthy amount of selenium, it has a beneficial effect. If we have too little selenium, it can have a negative impact. But if you get too much selenium, if we go very high in selenium in our diet or through supplements, it can actually have a negative impact where sperm parameters will start to drop off again. So when we start to take an active ingredient and we give it in doses that cannot be found or achieved through the diet, we're no longer talking about that dietary food and its impact on health. We're talking about a pharmaceutical ingredient or a very high potent chemical or compound, and its effect on the body is not the same as consuming a food that would have much lower amounts. So these studies where we're looking at M-xylohydroquinone in humans, we're looking at giving the active compound. In some of these studies, they were giving it by IV, intravenous. So it's not even, you know, giving it through an oral diet in lower amounts. We're talking about giving large amounts of the active ingredient through an intravenous route to a subject and then monitoring for changes. So this is not the same as consuming green peas. And there's been a lot of research done just on green peas in general, and we see that they're an incredible source of protein, a very excellent source of fiber, which is very important for bowel regularity, for gut microbiome health, that can help potentially impact blood sugar control, cholesterol levels, and now we're seeing more and more with the gut-brain connection may impact the health and mood of those consuming high fiber or low fiber diets. So based on these limited studies from the 1950s, it's hard to convince, or it'd be very misleading, I think, to discourage patients to eliminate green peas altogether just because they're trying to conceive, especially in the absence of any newer current research papers that confirm the validity of these previous findings from almost 70 years ago. And we did look at a newer study published around 2010, and they looked at different types of protein intake and how that impacted fertility. And this was a cohort study, so it does not establish causation, but it does establish correlation. And they found that patients, if they consume more plant-based protein coming from peas or other sources, they actually saw a decrease in the risk of ovulatory infertility. Ovulatory infertility being a result of impaired ovulation or low quality ovulation, where there's an impact on the luteal phase. So in combination with this newer research that we're seeing about healthy diets, plant-based diets, and how protein intake from plant-based foods may actually be helpful in reducing the risk of ovulatory infertility, I think we need to seriously reconsider the validity of these previous studies from the 1950s. And this is the same thing the World Health Organization has also mentioned, that we need to, you know, have a healthy skepticism basically of these older studies, because other studies haven't been able to reproduce the same results. And we are seeing You know, many cultures or diets across the globe that include a lot of green peas, and we're seeing a lot of healthy results or good research around the positive impact of plant-based foods and high intake of plant-based proteins. And as always, with any food you consume, it's important to also look at moderation. Like, we don't want to put anybody on a mono diet where they're having just one food and green peas becomes like the only source of your diet either. But it's a very far away recommendation, basically, to start recommending patients not have green peas based on limited research on animal studies or studies where they're looking at an active compound extracted from the food and given at higher doses. So overall, I think, you know, we have to follow current research, and I don't think green peas really would have a negative impact on fertility or reproductive health for majority of patients. And if there's newer research that comes out regarding this topic, then we'll have to incorporate that and adjust our recommendations in the future. But for now, I think it's best patients can speak with their healthcare providers, looking at what the best diet is for them in particular. But I don't think we're at that point where any healthcare provider is really recommending patients to avoid green peas in their diet. The information covered in this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not a replacement for medical consultation or medical advice. Please speak with your licensed healthcare provider prior to making any changes to your treatment plan and/or medications. Thank you.